Hey friends, thanks for tuning in to the Church Planner Podcast. Before we started today, wanted to tell you about a really special opportunity our friends at the Micro Church Conference put on by Brave Future, happening April 18th through the 20th in Kansas City. This is for all of you who are wondering what is a new kind of paradigm for missional church planting and church multiplication through smaller expressions of church, what they call rediscovering the smaller way. It's happening April 18th through the 20th. Kansas City is being hosted by Kansas City Underground. It's going to be a great weekend. And they've given us four free registrations to give away. Normally the price is $90, but we will get you into the conference for free. We have four of those. What you can do to enter is go on our Instagram at Church Planter Podcast. And there you'll find a DM button. Click that DM button. Send us a DM with your email on it and your name and where you serve. So email, name, where you serve, and you'll be entered to win one of four Micro Church Conference registrations. You just get yourself to Kansas City and you can be there and learn a ton from our friends at Brave Futures. Hope you enjoy the show today.
I'll start. My name is Rod. And I like to party.
So you mean whiskey?
What?
You're saying it weird.
Saying what weird?
All of it.
Where do you get off?
Right. Hey there, Church Planner. Welcome back to the Church Planner Podcast, your Wednesday edition with your hosts, Bobby Frazier and Maddie Buckets.
Maddie Buckets, man.
With Matt T, which is Matt Turcato.
Thank
Buckets.
You. He's famous. He's Boise famous.
we should talk about, actually, we're going to do a little series on, like, missional outreach.
That's maybe, a good time to talk about Maddie Buckets. Next.
And we'll talk about Maddie Buckets, because Maddie Buckets is a legend in his own mind.
He is a legend in his own mind, and he's a legend in the mind of children all across the Treasure Valley.
I don't know why,
but he is.
So, for those of you who don't know, we put on Made for the Sports and Arts Camp, which is this extravaganza of kids being crazy for three nights. And Matt comes as Matt T. Buckets. And the kids treat him like they come to church and they're like, "Dad, did you see Matty Buckets here?" And I'm like, "Yeah, he's here every week, buddy."
I've legitimately been at the grocery store at Fred Meyer and got stopped and said, are you Matty Buckets? And I was like, I am. I absolutely am. I came home and I just gushed to Keddie. It was one of the highlights of that year. It was
next
amazing.
Time you gotta get down in the kid's face and go.
No, it's great. It's one of the most fun weeks of the year. So yeah, I'm excited to chat about that sometime.
Are you gonna be at Boise or Meridian camp this summer?
The last year was the first year that we split so much that I only went to one. So we'll see. For sure, I always do Meridian because that's where my kids go, but I might need to. Last year, I wanted to make an appearance, but I also didn't want to steal the thunder of the, because the idea with Maddie Buckets is a reproducible figure, and so I didn't want to kind of come in and one up a new Maddie Buckets.
Well, we could call it Maddie Buckets Senior, Maddie Buckets Junior. I think we can make that work.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I really enjoyed the idea of having. Like my daughter be like Maddie Buckets, like M-A-D-D-I-E.
Oh, Maddie.
Have a girl, like Maddie Buckets, or like my sister. So, yeah.
I like that.
All right.
We have a special co-host today. If you're watching on YouTube or
is that a
you're
thing?
Seeing this on video. Yeah, we have
a
YouTube. Oh, yeah.
You got to tell me this in the future so I'm not wearing.
You're going to dress nicer now that you know.
I just legit had no idea.
Yeah, you can look up Church Planner Podcast on YouTube if you've never watched or seen me and Matt.
It's a nice plug. Are we live streaming on Twitch right now?
No, not on Twitch, but that's coming next. We're gonna create our own Discord channel for the kids.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that I'm wearing my Michael Scott vasectomy shirt today for everyone to see.
Yeah. What? Yeah, read your shirt for me.
The shirt it's in the style of the LeBron James Nike cover where he went back to Cleveland and said, "I'm coming home." But instead of LeBron James, it's Michael Scott, and it says, "You have no idea the physical toll that three vasectomies has on the body." And then at the bottom, instead of just do it, it says snip, snap, snip, snap. So, quality.
And of course, yeah. So the puppy, how old's the puppy now?
She is 11, 12 weeks. We've had her for 2 weeks and we got her at 10. So, yeah, she's getting big.
And for those of you who weren't watching on YouTube, there was a puppy that Matt was
There was,
holding, and
yes, her name is Luna, and she has been a great addition to our family. And she's also been a reason that I set alarms to wake up in the middle of the night to take her out so that she doesn't go potty in a crate. So I'm sleep deprived in the, I'm not going to say in the same way that a new parent is, because that's foolishness,
no, that's
but
different.
I'm definitely yeah, no, we're enjoying her, and she's a joy. It's I forgot, I think, with puppies that you can't take them out until they get their like third round of like parvo vaccines. So we just can't take her anywhere. She just hangs out in our house and in our backyard, and all I want to do is take her on a walk, but she's probably 2 weeks away from that, so
Well, you take her
she's
to my
adorable though.
house because we don't have any parvo at my house.
That's what you think. I've seen Theo.
He has worms, that's no question.
So yeah, but she's doing great, and we're loving life with a new puppy, so
Well, that's exciting, man.
yep.
I gotta meet that puppy. You gotta bring her over.
Yep.
All right. Well, man, what is puppy life? Is it as hard as you remember, or is it easier?
No, I think it's as hard as I thought I remember. We had our first puppy dog, Addie, when me and Teddy were newly married, and I think we just didn't pay attention as much, and so she would just like she would chew, she ruined a couple chairs, and she ate my one of my PlayStation controllers. So I think we're more aware right now of where she is, what she needs, and so that's hopefully good. But I'm sure we're gonna go through a chewing phase and all the fun phases that happen. But right now we're enamored with the adorable golden doodle puppy phase. So we're
Yeah.
just, yeah, it's great.
Is there a better phase for a puppy? No, there isn't.
Nope,
That's it.
So yeah.
Good,
How
man.
about you? What's new with you?
Let's see. What is new? Oh, my two boys got put on their spring baseball team, and I think you'll enjoy this, but I did not enjoy it.
Are they on the Dodgers?
Yeah, they're on the Dodgers.
Yes! That's
Yeah.
great. No, Robert, good news. That means they're gonna make a ton of money.
No, it means they're
In
going to underperform in the
Well, the
playoffs,
bad news is they're gonna make a ton of money, but they won't make it for 20 years. So
No, they won't. Although if they have a shortened like rain shortened season,
yeah,
like let's say
would be
there's a
great.
pandemic, they might win
Sure.
because that's
Yeah,
the only
absolutely,
season they
man.
can win.
That's all they can do. No, this is Makai's first. My son is Makai. It's his first year that he's going to do baseball as well. So, and he's a huge
Oh.
baseball fan. So, we're doing Meridian Pal. We don't know anything about sports because Lily did our daughter did soccer for a couple of years and did Pal, and so we just jumped that. She's in gymnastics now, so she's really loving that. And yeah, so this is the
Is
first
this
time we'll ever have two
coach
kids in.
pitch or machine
Yeah, it's coach.
pitch?
It's coach pitch.
Okay.
And Teddy was
I gotta
filling out
tell you.
the she was filling out the thing, and she was like, "Oh, do you want to be a volunteer coach?" And I was like, "Not the first year. I made that mistake with soccer, and volunteer coach, as much as I appreciate my co volunteer coach, turned into me just coaching by myself." So
Well, and here's the secret. If you don't volunteer to coach, you can assistant coach. But if you volunteer to assistant coach, they will make you head coach.
there you go,
So it's like
exactly.
a really, and so what I do is I get my two good buddies here in the neighborhood. I tell them to sign up to coach,
That's great.
and then I tell them I'll be there. I'll be with, and I am. I'm there with
Yeah.
them. I'm in it with them. But if I sign up to coach, then we get set, put on separate teams, and we don't get to be together.
Yeah,
So
that's a
this
good
is like a
call.
secret.
That's a good call.
That'll be fun, man. That'll be
Yep.
great.
Yep. So
We
that's our
did coach pitch last season, and I didn't. I pitched like two or three games, I think. And I gotta tell you, like if you're pitching 7, 8, 12 times per kid over 3 innings,
Yeah.
your pitch count can get up into the
That's
hundreds.
right. Need that Tommy Johns.
I mean, yeah, like that, and it's all elbow because you
Yeah,
if you do a
yeah.
full if you do a full throw, you're gonna like throw that kid out every time. So you gotta
That's
like
great.
the goal is you wanna like pitch it like this
Arch
so you
it.
get it straight and you
Yeah.
don't hit the kid because
Yeah.
there's nothing worse than the kids getting hit. And then you also want to like throw it so that you're timing their bat. So
Yeah.
you're trying to hit their bat with the ball. It's like
It's
this
great.
very.
Very specific. Yeah. So it'll be fun. This is our first year doing two kids in sports at the same time, which I know you're a seasoned pro at, but we're like, oh, what are we gonna do?
See, like you just have to kind of like set aside the next 8 weeks from like 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock. It's not your time.
Yeah.
You just have to, like, in your head, it's just like as if you had dinner and bath time, but it's not dinner and bath time. It's like, you know, out.
Great.
So you gotta,
you have
just
to
like
skip dinner
mind.
And still do bath time, but late.
Yeah.
Great.
But it is,
you're really
it is
making
great
it sound
like we love sports. Like we like sports anyways, but there's no better time to get to know your neighbors and like people around you than sitting on the sideline with people.
Yeah.
Like, it
no,
is
that's
incredible
true.
What happens
We're stoked.
In that space.
We've been highly active in going to our friends' kids' sports, and that's a great, that was like a good balance because we didn't have to do all the practices, or do all the stuff, and it's like, oh, we can just show up on a Sunday and meet all of Joe's friends from his neighborhood, and we can, you know,
yeah,
it works out well. So,
although I will say, you also aren't paying for kids' registrations for sports, which has gotten so expensive.
Yes. Yeah.
How much was baseball for you guys?
I think Makai's baseball is 93 and Lily's gymnastics was 120 something.
That's not
crazy.
Bad. So Theo did the Christian bougie basketball, the upwards basketball.
The CBB?
Yeah.
Christian bougie basketball.
Yeah. Have you ever been to the CBB, man? Like
no.
the upwards Christian bougie basketball? It's an experience because we're used to Y ball.
Wait, is this the one that doesn't, did they have five quarters?
Or like six quarters. What the hell, man?
$1.50. That's great. You get an extra playtime.
The first game, I'm like, wow, that was fast. And it's like, no, we got two quarters left. And I'm like, hold on.
I don't think you know what quarters are.
I'm just doing the math here. That's 1.5.
Anyways, so really, you're actually getting a bonus game in every two games. You get an extra game. So it's like a buy two get one free system they've got going.
You're getting half free. You get 50% off.
Well, that's why it's buy two get one free.
But here's the thing with the Christian bougie basketball, it was a great experience. Our coaches were awesome. It was a friend of mine was assistant coaching. It was like great experience. But I would have thought that because it's supposed to be an outreach that it would be built like. Like cheaper, but it was $190 for an 8-week basketball session.
Yeah.
Which to me, like that's almost, I think, $70 more than the Y ball was.
And what percentage of that goes to overseas missions?
No one told me that percentage.
I'm going to need to see your giving statements.
I'm
going to
need an
your
audited,
overheads. What's
audited
going on
books.
Here?
Yeah.
Give me a list of the ministries you support. I want to make sure they're all on the up and up.
Yeah. Well, my buddy Johnny's the pastor over there. I'll call him up and just be
okay,
like, I'd like the books.
Yeah, that's right. If we're going to do this, if we're going to keep doing this, I'm going to need to know what your overheads are.
Yeah. I'm not paying for, you know, your, I'm not paying for your relief ministry over here.
Look at that. $80 of administrative fees.
Sure.
Classic nonprofit trick.
Overhead. I see.
Over.
I see the overhead is you going out to lunch every day.
Yeah.
No, they're great. We love them. We love our bougie Christian basketball friends. It was
That's
great.
I'm people probably don't know. I'm not a fan of basketball or my kids playing it because I was a wrestler in high school. And that's, there was kind of an ongoing wrestler basketball feud that still lives
to be
in
clear,
my
clear. You are
heart.
A basketball fan. You're not a fan
I love
of
basketball.
Your kids
I love
basketball.
Watching. Yeah. I love watching basketball. I just think I want my kids to be tough. Not little whiny floppers like
did you have
my
your
favorite
kids
basketball
go to,
player.
Did you have your kids go to wrestling this winter? Because the high schools do like these wrestling clubs
yeah.
for kids.
Yeah. No, Makai is really interested in wrestling. And we wrestle a ton. And we've started to, like, when we wrestle, like, I'm teaching him, like, half Nelsons and moves. So he's being prepared. But me and Kenny have talked about, as we got Makai into baseball, just kind of like the how do we avoid the burnout of sports? How do we make sports something the kids want to do and something they enjoy doing and something that they enjoy doing long term rather than a lot of kids will, you know, if they get so pushed into it, it'll just burn out by, you know, probably 7th, 8th grade, 9th grade when they actually are probably going to be the most effective and when it's going to mean the most. Those were the best years of sports for me. So we held off on sports a little bit for him, but I'm going to try and get him into wrestling a little bit. Or I did judo as well to help. So I think some sort of martial arts. I know there's a couple people. Frank from our church does taekwondo with his kids.
So
something like that would be fun. So
yeah, cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
All right.
Great, Scott. It's time for this week's topic. That's the transition on the Monday episodes.
I know that one. Yeah. I've listened to a couple episodes now, so I'm starting to become familiar. I still need to nail down that exit line. So you'll have to feed it to me a couple more times.
So
go where nowhere else is going. so you can be who no one else is being to the people that no one's reaching. Is that it?
Not even close. I found this like a, it's a some sort
flux capacitor?
Of flux. I think it might be a flux capacitor. Speaking of our friend the doctor, but this has like a, you can do sound effects on it.
Oh so yeah, once soundboard.
I figure out you got a how soundboard. To do this. Sound great. Effects on it?
Just fill them with the most appropriate soundboard items you can from the other guys. There's not a lot it's of them, but...
yeah, we'll do. You can't quote TLC.
Have you ever come face-to-face with a 500-pound tuna? You lose that battle. 9 times out of 10.
No, they'll develop a kelp breathing apparatus.
breathing apparatus. They're not going to be able to stay on land forever, but an hour, hour and a half? Enough time to stalk you and your family. And now we have developed... A taste for lion.
They're going outside of their what do they call it?
Ecosystem.
Yeah, their great. Ecosystem.
Anyways, one of my one of my favorite moments of our friendship was the watching that in Florida with a bunch of people at the conference for.
Was that Exponential or
for... Exponential? Yeah, Exponential. Yeah, yeah. We went down with like a bunch of pastors, and most of them hadn't seen it. And watching that was just. Glorious.
Oh, so good. All right.
All right.
This week's topic, Matt, is
real estate part two. Did my homework this week.
All right. So after last week, what was the questions you had coming out of last week?
Yeah, I think last week was really great. And it was an eye opener for me to prepare a little bit more as I sat and listened to you for quite a bit. I think some of the stuff that I was thinking through in actually just going back and re-listening is it feels like that real estate and kind of a building or a meeting place. I think I'd mentioned this in the podcast, but it's something that most people who aren't the actual planters don't think about. I didn't think about where we were going to meet. I just heard you say one day, say we're going to meet at this other church in their gym. And so I think like some of the logistical questions that came to my mind is like, where in the process do you start to figure that stuff out? Because it's like, you get a vision, you catch the vision. Hey, like God's calling us to plant a church, and you start to form a team. You know, because I wasn't involved in like kind of that side of things, I'm just kind of curious, like how, like where somebody who's thinking about planting a church starts, or when they start to think about that, the process and how they go. I mean, even how to go about that. Like, do you just start calling friends and saying like, hey, we're meeting? If you know that you're not going to, you know, take out a big loan and do a building, which I think you said is not a great idea for your first go around. Yeah. It's like, I think that like, that was kind of the thing that struck me, was, like, how does that process happen? Less so like, where are we going to meet? So I just love to hear a little bit about kind of maybe your experience with Redemption Hill, or how you kind of coach new church planters through that.
Yeah. When you think about where to meet, there's kind of two pieces to it. There's the functional piece of, I've got to find real estate, just a room that will work for us to meet in. I got to find kids' rooms and all those pieces. But I'd say before that, the question has to be, who are the people that you're called to and where are they?
Yeah.
Because that should really form, from a missional standpoint, you're going to form where's God calling us to go. For us, like I think I said last week, it was our neighborhood. And so we drew a pretty tight geographic circle around our house and said, we're going to work in concentric circles from a quarter mile to a half mile to a mile, maybe 2 miles out. But we wanted something that was easy for us to invite our neighbors into, mm-hmm. something that didn't require a long drive. Now, you are somebody who came and joined the mission, even though you lived in Meridian at the time, to come be a part of what we were doing here in Boise. And that's okay. You're going to invite, I wouldn't just base it on where your people and your team are, although that could be a part of it, because that's something that we're considering right now, as we have so many people near where you live. How can we help you create space to reach them with a gathering? So that's a piece of it. So that's kind of the first step. And then the second step is to say, what will work for us now and what will work for us in the next stage? Because a lot of church planters get stuck thinking, I'm going to have this massive group of people, and so I need enough room to have 250 people per service in the first year. Now, some church planters have a plan and a vision and the money to do a launch large and to get to 200, 300 people, and then to sustain that over the next 2 years. And they're going to need 400 to 500 seats to grow into. That's real. And honestly, that's a lot harder to find room for. I talked about in our city, kind of the three key opportunities. schools, actually, we'll say four, schools, theaters, retail space or commercial, underutilized commercial space, and then the last is other churches. So those are kind of the four main places. But it starts with fundamentally, until you've got 50 people, I think you should be in a house and keep it small and tight and connected. And primarily until you're ready to launch large and have a Sunday gathering that requires a bunch of setup and that stuff, I'd stay as small as you can, because I'd rather be in a full room than an empty room.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have a church planner friend out in Cuna, which is another town here. And they got permission to meet in the high school in their auditorium and use some classrooms and then use their gym for their kids, which is great. But it was a high school that's built for 2,000, and the auditorium has 900 seats in it. And so they did really great, and they raised a bunch of money and had 100-150 people at their launch and stayed there for the first year, which was a really strong start. Mm-hmm. But it was weird, because when you went into the room, it felt like the room was sucked of its energy because it was 150 in a room of 900. And so what you really want to think about is, how can we mostly fill a room, somewhere between 60% and 80%? And then from that, once you fill it up, then think about the next thing, because you don't want to get ahead of yourself and get something too big.
Yeah, that felt, I mean, for our experience meeting in a gymnasium, like, you know, the first, until we got pipe and drapes, it felt like you just like walk in, and just acoustically, it felt like everything was spread out. And it's like, oh my gosh, like in order to get to where the stage was, you have to just walk through this abyss of nothingness. And we tried to like block it off with tables, but that felt, so I think that, I don't know if that is like a thought process through, like that expandability to be able to kind of grow it. I mean, you know, our Christmas services, it was like, we didn't put up any pipe and drapes and we were filling up the whole thing. So there's going to be that flexibility seems like it might be great to have later on, but early on, it feels like it would be, you know, I mean, even with our pipe and drape up, sometimes for like a New Year service, when there's 6 to 12 people on our first couple of years, it was like, after the kids all leave, it's like, oh, this feels strange. So, well, that answers that part of it. The second part was just like, okay, so you draw a map and you say, this is the area. Then did you just start like networking, going out to schools and saying, oh, are you open to meeting, going out to, I mean, for our experience, going out to local churches and saying, hey, we're a new church plant, we're looking for space? Or how does logistically one go about saying, okay, I know where God's calling us to, now how do I take steps to actionably build the relationships to actually meet somewhere?
Yeah, and this is where you're going to need time. Time's going to be your friend, because when you're thinking about real estate, nothing moves fast. Even if something's ready to go, even if something works well, it may mean that organization needs 6 to 8 weeks to clear the calendar to have you in it. Mm-hmm. It may mean that you need to come up with some money to be able to put for a down payment and for your deposit. It may mean that you've got to finagle and find the equipment that you need to be mobile in that space. So all those pieces take time. And so as soon as you decide to plant a church, that's the time to start thinking about real estate and looking everywhere you can. Now, a few good starting points. If you're thinking about theater, Regal Theaters actually has a program for churches, and you can reach out to their national program and they'll help you work with the local Regal Theaters to set up a rental, because they want it as a part of their revenue stream. So Regal actually has a good process. It can be a little expensive, and theaters can be onerous because the amount of equipment that you need to make a theater work for kids is pretty tough. But it can be a good place to kind of have, you can start in a smaller theater and then grow into a larger theater in the same space. And there aren't movies showing on Sunday morning because no one goes before noon, so it works well.
Do they open the concessions for you, though? Because that feels like it would be a good selling point. Like unlimited Diet Coke on a Sunday morning, I'd go to that church.
You can have 6 gallons of Diet Coke per week. That sounds like a terrible idea. So Regal has a good program. The second is school districts are a good starting point, but school districts are really finicky. So you really want to do... you ask around and connect with other pastors in your town. And this is why networking is so important, because there's only one church in your city, and those other pastors work for the same boss that you do. It's the king. And you need to go to them, and you need to build a relationship with them. And when they ask you what you need, you tell them four things. You tell them, I'm looking for someone who will support us financially. I'm looking for someone who will pray for us. I'm looking for somebody who will platform us and help us raise up people. And then I'm looking for connections to find space. And so when you find someone who's in your neighborhood, especially if you're new to town, you're parachuting in, you don't know people, you've got to build a network. And you also want to ask your team what they know and who they know, because if they're going to have better ideas than you are, they're going to see things differently than you are. Pastors tend to get pretty myopic in what we think can work. And there's some incredible places that you would never think would work for a church that can work. Office spaces in an office park can work really well because they tend to be pretty big buildings. Yeah. They're not
good parking.
Yeah, and they have great parking on Sundays, like the Pursuit, which is one of the churches here in town. It actually worked really well for that reason. Industrial spaces a lot of times have large warehouse space that can work for gatherings, but it's a matter of figuring out one that works for the price point that you need. Mm-hmm. And then anytime you're working in commercial real estate, you want to find a commercial real estate agent that will help you find a space. There's two reasons for that. Number one, they're likely to know something you don't know, because even if you're on Crexy or LoopNet, which are the online marketplaces, those will actually only tend to be less than 50% of the available properties. So if you find a commercial real estate agent, they will be able to help you find something that works. And the company that owns the building is going to pay them. You're not going to pay a commercial realtor. The company that you're leasing from, you're going to pay them, and then they're going to pay your realtor to help you find those places. So find a commercial realtor who will help you find retail space, let them know what you're looking for, and they'll just keep their eye out. They'll keep their ear to the ground and help you find it. A lot of times you can find a Christian that might even donate part of their commission back to you, but just look for somebody who can help you, because especially with commercial real estate, putting together, I'm negotiating a deal for one of my clients right now. And the negotiation on a commercial real estate is much, much more complex than a rental for a house or even a purchase for a house, because every single part of the commercial lease is negotiable. And so you need somebody who understands the terms, understands the total cost, and can help you work through the questions that you have.
Yeah.
So you've got that, and you've got theaters. We've got churches. Now this is
schools, churches. This, I was gonna this, that's a, yeah. a touchy one, it seems like.
Yeah, we're gonna stay away from schools for a second, because schools are actually harder. So we'll go to churches. This is actually probably your lowest hanging fruit a lot of times, is finding a church that's underutilized in your neighborhood, and building a friendship. Now the key piece to this is don't use them.
Mm-hmm.
See them as a partner and tell them what you need and see if they might have availability and if there's ways that you can bless their community and ways that they can create space for you. But a lot of churches that I see, they come in with a sense of entitlement, like we're new and we have energy and we're a church plant, so everybody should bow to us. Don't have that attitude. Otherwise, you don't deserve the space.
Yeah.
Unless you can acknowledge that somebody else sweat, blood, cried over that space and did what it took to build it and honor them, you don't deserve to be in that space. So make sure you're honoring the people you're coming into. And secondly, make sure that they know that that you're thankful for them. You're thankful for the work that they do, and honor them in like the type of ministry that they're doing, because it's probably different than yours, and your neighborhood probably needs both of them. So that brings us to the last one.
Wait, can schools. I ask a question on that one?
Yeah.
Before we move on? What kind of like what would you say are like the good evaluative best practices to say, is this a good fit for us? Because I think like it seems like if a church was just like, hey, you know, actually, if you need a space, we're not using our space on a Sunday night or a Sunday afternoon, or, you know, our service is at 8:00. And if you wanted to do an 11 o'clock service, what are some of the things that kind of, as you've done this twice now, what are some of the things that you kind of process through in your mind to say like, hey, not only do we have a good relationship and it doesn't make sense, or how can we bless each other, but like, is this actually a good fit for what we want to do? Because I think like that could feel like a big temptation to say like, oh, the second guy I met with says his church has space open at 6:00 on a Sunday night, so we'll just do a Sunday night service and we've got a space and we can check that off the board and now we're done and we don't have to worry about space anymore. But what, so I guess, what are the things that you would kind of key in on and say that are good to kind of think through if you're making, because it is a big decision to cohabitate with another church, and you know there's some really great things that can happen there, and we've seen that happen with both churches that we've kind of partnered up with, but there can also be some challenges. So I'd just love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think go slow is the first one. So if they say we've got space for you, you say, oh, thank you so much for offering that. Let's talk through what that looks like and make sure that it's a good fit for your community and our community. And then start walking through what you need and what you want. Now, depending on your model of church planting, later or Sunday evening services could work well, but I would be very careful about that for two reasons. The first reason is Sunday night, it can work well, but it never works well for families with little kids. Because trying to do church over either dinner time or nap time or late afternoon is much more difficult than doing it in the morning for kids, especially under 7. Like that's just really difficult. And you'll have a hard time attracting families with young kids. So if that's not the demographic you're going after,
You're
if
doing like
it's
a
good.
college age church plant. We're really ministering to the young adults. It's like, ah, this is great. Sunday night services are going to work well. Okay.
Yeah, and we've seen that over and over again. College-based churches, Sunday night works well because a lot of times Sunday morning, college students are either paying for the night before or they are sleeping in. Like that's
Enjoying
just
some
the
much
normal.
needed rest and relaxation.
Yeah, college students need that, and college and Sunday nights can work really well. So I'd argue against that. And then the second thing is, as much as I hate this, that this is true, when you look in your community and you ask them to go to church, in their mind, their mental model is Sunday morning. And so if you're trying to get them into a space where they're not exactly like feel comfortable, and then you're adding another barrier of a weird time or a time that they wouldn't think is that space for church, that's a barrier for them. And so I think that you need to think real clearly about who are you trying to reach and what is their lifestyle like and what works for them. Now, in Boise, sometimes Sunday evenings can work really well. Because we have such a strong recreation community, they can ski or be up in the mountains or be on the river and then in the evening come for service. Sometimes that will work, but a lot of times if you try to plan around that, you're actually helping people to anoint something ahead of God in their lives, and it's you're actually feeding their consumerism of church. So there's complexity. I think you gotta think through that. Oh, the last thing I say about that is that when it comes to rentals for churches, be explicit and very clear in your rental agreement about what space you're using, how much it's going to cost. You should have a time frame and you should have renewals. So when it comes to the time frame, don't do anything less than 12 months because the setup and time it takes to build what's needed for a space is never worth less than 12 months of time. There should be an opt out. So if you get too large and you can't meet there anymore, there's some sort of mechanism to end the contract early on one or both sides that includes some compensation so that they're compensated for the time. Sorry, my voice is going out. And the last piece is make sure that you have clear extensions so that it's like 3 to 12 months at a time, and so you can regularly reassess what the cost is and what the value is. So I may be losing my voice. We may be done with this interview today. We're
All
pretty
right.
close.
That's good. So
So yeah,
now
the
schools was the last one then.
schools. Okay, let's jump in schools. Schools are complex because it requires to have you to have a partner on the other side who understands the value of what you can bring, which is hopefully some financial support to the schools, and they understand your needs, and so that they don't kind of roll over you. The institution of the school and the school district are much stronger than your church. They have all the cards. You have none of them, and so anytime you choose a school, you're stepping in a space where you really don't have any rights. You have a lot of responsibilities. Now, I like schools because they're third spaces. They're places where people feel comfortable who are far from God. They're places that feel like they would belong. And so schools can feel comfortable. And if it's in their neighborhood and they know the school layout, they even feel more welcome there because they've been in that building before. But a lot of times you'll have to have somebody from the school who works there who will open it for you on Sundays because they're not going to require one of their staff members to come in. So what I would start by saying is network like crazy with existing churches and within your church to find out if there's somebody who could join your team who works at a school that might be able to provide for you a space. Now, in our school district, I think this is illegal, but they do not allow churches to rent the space unless they have land purchased and they're going to build on it in the next 2 years, which is basically no one. So no one's able to rent it. And other school districts really need your money, and so they're much more willing to rent it to you. Either way, it requires you to come in not just as a renter or a business partner for them, but to someone in the community that says, I'm going to bless your school. I know one church plant here. They're actually at my alma mater at Eagle High School. And they came in and basically said, we're going to do a big project as a service to you that cost them almost $15,000. They said, we're going to come in and we're going to fix this part of your school because you need help. And it started the relationship with a ton of goodwill because it told the school that they're not there to be used. They're there to be blessed by the church. Mm. So come in with that sort of a mindset and it changes the relationship.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Are those all your questions?
That's it. That's it. You answered them all. No, no. I think that I obviously that there's like aspects of kind of each of those that have some strengths. And I think like the great part I heard was just like what makes sense for who you are, who your church is, who God's calling you to, who God's calling you to be. But I think that it just, again, it just feels like this thing that just goes unthought about for most of the people, but it seems like it's a lot of, there's probably a lot of energy and work that go into building those relationships and that networking that's on top of everything else. So it's cool to hear. And it's good for me to get some recognition of what went into that for our community. So,
well, in our church right now, we're renting from two different churches for our preschool and for where we meet. So it's a lot of work to maintain and care for those relationships, but it's a part of the work. And I'd even argue that it's a part of the work that's a part of the gospel work that we do, which is the unity and partnership that we build with other churches is actually a testament to the Spirit's work in our lives. So don't see it as an annoyance, see it as a key part of the work that we do. And then I think lastly, this is a piece of advice that I would give most church planters. If you're renting office space somewhere, a lot of church planters, if they have a mobile space, they'll rent an office space. I would say try to figure out how to purchase something, some piece of real estate early on. You know, squirrel away $20,000, $50,000 into a fund and purchase a house that you use as an office and that you use as meeting space. Because what will happen is that will grow in equity and help you purchase maybe a piece of land or help you have a down payment or a starting point for the building project you're going to need when you create the probably the one or two buildings that you're going to build as a community. Most churches won't ever build a building. And if they do, it will probably be just one. And so what you want to do is be prepared when it's time to do that. And I would say, although that's not my bent is to want to own real estate, like as a church, because real estate's a liability. When I rent, I'm not responsible to make sure that there's enough toilet paper. When you rent, there's not, when there's something wrong with the building, you have to deal with the problem, but you don't have to fix it because it's the landlord's job. There's something really nice about that as an organization. It frees you up to do more ministry. But there comes a time when your community is a permanent fixture that needs to create a third space for the community to utilize. And when you do, the way that you should approach that is not what does our church need, but rather what space does our community need and how could we make it useful for both the church and the community? I love there's some church friends of ours in Michigan that basically create Y style community centers that then are their church buildings so that they have classes and kids sports and indoor playgrounds, because in Michigan, good news is indoor playgrounds when it's winter and snowy for 7 months.
No, I was thinking through like when we were kind of in the middle of figuring out what our next phase was after our lease was up with our first church that we were renting from. One of the kind of visions or the thought that you had was like, what would it look like for us to create like a working rental space throughout the course of the week. It's also got maybe like a cafe in it where we could have like a coffee shop, and where it's not just this thing where it's like, oh, like, oh, this is also a church, but it can meet that other need. Because I think that would feel like, you know, especially if you're renting an office space, it's like, okay, if we're spending all this money on Sunday and then we're not using the space to bless the community around it, well, there's no soft edges for people to be able to access this space. And it's just kind of like they drive by and it's like, what is that? Oh, that's a church, versus being able to like, oh, that, I think that's like a cool coffee shop that also has a church that meets there on Sunday. Like there's something about that just has always appealed to me. And the idea of like, how do we meet the needs of our, where God has called us to be outside of just having a space that they can meet on a Sunday morning and worship. And I, you know, it's a cool idea. And I think there's some benefits to that could be taken into consideration too. So.
Yeah. And there's a couple examples that come to mind that I think are really neat uses that kind of think outside the box. Actually, three that are really built around more missional models. One is we have a friend here who has a church in a very unchurched area, and it's just in a valley like 10 minutes away from here. But in that little valley, there's no churches, and they have a restaurant there. And so their church runs the restaurant with a coffee shop attached to it. And then on Sunday mornings, the restaurant's closed and they meet in there for worship and invite people throughout the week that come for beer and drinks at this restaurant. And my friend Barkley, who runs that, has gospel conversations almost every single day because he's running a restaurant in the neighborhood. In that neighborhood, Good News sounds like restaurant. I have another friend down in Tampa Bay, and their network, it actually rents out co-working space on Sundays. So they use the co-working space, they pay the co-working space, and then on Sundays they utilize it, because if they pay for a building that doesn't get used all week, it's just a bad use of capital. Mm-hmm. It's a better use to build something that's useful. And in an era of work from home, co-working space sounds like good news to a lot of families.
Yeah.
So creating that is
useful. And not a lot of demand for a co-working space on a Sunday morning. Get some good prices there.
Very, very few people are using co-working space on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And the last is, you guys, many of you know of Hugh Halter in Alton, Illinois. He was given this old, it was a decommissioned postal office in downtown Alton, Illinois. Are you there? Oh,
yep.
I had a little internet freeze. And in this downtown area of Alton, Illinois, they created this beautiful... It's become the premier event space for their city. They have a coffee shop, they have yoga classes, they have co-working space, and it's become the center of this small town. And they were able to get the building for like $1 a year lease, something like that, because the city wanted to see it used. So there's some creative ways that you can use space. And actually, this is something I'm really passionate about. So if you're working on some sort of real estate project or have ideas, drop a note on our Instagram at churchplanterpodcast, and love to connect on that. So thank you for being here. Do you want to try the ending, or should I do it this week?
I mean, you heard my effort at it earlier. It's not quite as refined.
Okay. Remember, if you want to reach the people no one else is reaching, you've got to go where no one else is going and do what no one else has done.
I felt like it was close earlier. I'll have to re-listen.
It wasn't terrible.
It was more of the spirit of the law than the letter of the law.
Yeah, you're getting close. Listen, maybe we need a separate one for our Wednesday show.
Yeah.
It's better than what they do on Monday.
I'll feed ChatGPT some prompts and see what he throws back at me.
And then we'll run it by Peyton and Pete and say, see, we came up with something better.
That's right.
All right, friends. Cool. We'll see you next week. Hopefully, you have a good week. Take care.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. This episode was brought to you by Church Web Builder. If you've been meaning to scrap your terrible WordPress church website, or you just need to actually sit down and make your church plant's website, let this be a sign to you. With Church Web Builder's library of church-specific templates and integrations, and the included all-in-one marketing and communication platform, a beautiful new website is literally sitting there waiting for you to take it. Go to churchwebbuilder.io and use the code PLANTER at checkout. You'll get 50% off your first year. Yes, 50. 50% off your entire first year. Again, go to churchwebbuilder.io and use the code PLANTER. For more from the Church Planter Podcast, hit us up on Instagram and Facebook at Church Planter Podcast and on Twitter at CPlanterMag. We'd love to connect. See you next time.